Good afternoon. And again, welcome to everyone who is joining us on the internet. I will continue reading from the transcript as it was completed by Bill Thetford. And so those of you who are reading either the first or second editions, you will have to bear with the fact that there are differences and you might feel like you have lost your place, but I suggest that when you've lost your place, keep your finger there and at some point it will pick up again. A Course in Miracles. A course. Well, all of you know what a course is. You've taken courses in college, you've taken courses at weekend workshops, and if you're not careful, you're likely to approach A Course in Miracles in the same way you've been taught to approach other courses, and that is as a means of gathering new information which will help you to more skillfully deal with life. Without ever calling into question the student who's taking the course, without ever calling into question the mind that is studying the course. And if you don't make that distinction, if you don't know that there is that distinction, then you will not catch the real meaning of the course, and you will end up being an ego practicing the principles of the course so as to be better in control in your life and so as to be more safe because this wonderful Course in Miracles has presented you with a new defense. Sometimes the misunderstanding of what the Course is about, meaning that which calls the mind that is studying the Course into question, causes one's behavior as, quote, a student of the Course, unquote, to become most unkind, thoughtless, throwing out statements from the Course that don't really address anything at all except the security and defense system of the one throwing out the words. And the end result is hurt rather than healing. Someone behaves badly. The one towards whom the bad behavior has been expressed says, "Ouch, I don't like the way you're behaving, it hurts." And the one behaving badly says, "Well, it's all in your perception." Wow, what an unkindness. Not only that, if the person to whom that statement is made is halfway intellectual, he or she is likely to say, maybe you're right. And then they go off on a tangent of trying to improve their perception so that bad or hurtful behavior doesn't hurt them. Awful. An ego practicing the principles of the Course, is no more useful than an ego practicing any other system of thought, or an ego practicing any other principles. We are in chapter 5, and as most of you are aware, you haven't really been given any useful tools for being a more skillful ego in the world, and you can end up thinking that the Course really isn't useful. But as we've been going through it, I have been pointing out to you over and over and over again, as the Course has been pointing it out over and over again, that until you know who you are, until you know how things work, you can't understand what you're reading about. And until you understand that the Course is, from the get-go, calling your ego into question, and not addressing your ego at all, but addressing that place of excellence in you, which is your divinity, until you recognize that, you are not going to be in any position to be an agent for change in the world. You're not going to be in any position to be a healer. You're not going to be in any position to be what the Course calls a co-creator with God. As the Course says, the place of excellence in you is called the altar. The place, you could say, where the flame of truth is lit and burning, illuminating everything for you. But if your back is turned to the altar, you seem to be able to be free to give new definitions that are not the truth to everything. And so before A Course in Miracles can even begin to make sense to you, you have to recognize the necessity of not reinforcing your ego any further. You must recognize that the Course is not addressing your ego. It is not there to improve your ego, nor its skill at anything. The Course is here to help turn your attention to a different resource that's right in the middle of you, this place of excellence, this place where you can connect with the direct experience of truth, this place where there is forever flowing forth God's perspective. These two apparent resources that you have available to you are called the Voice for Truth and the voice for fear. The Course is not directed at those who are listening to the voice for fear, those who are defining themselves according to the voice for fear. It is addressing the divinity of every single one of you, which is present right in the middle of each one of you at this moment, and is not a state to be achieved, grown into, but one which you must care enough to become quiet enough to sense in the withinness of you, so that you might begin to consciously use it as your prime resource. The voice for truth is also the Holy Spirit. And again, I want to remind you that last week we read, the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your own right mind. The Holy Spirit is your divinity, held in trust while you dally with the ego, while you play around at being an independent thinker and definer of things, a pseudo-authoritative presence that can never become actualized. The last sentence of the last section reads, or the last two sentences, the Holy Spirit is in you in a very literal sense. His is the capital V voice that calls you back to where you were before and will be again. Which simply means it calls you back into your right mind, into your true experience of yourself, where you're not blocking it by insisting upon expressing authority that God never gave you and that you can never really have. It's you becoming sane again. It's you not having a mind divided where there seems to be the occasion for choice. This section is called The Voice for God. And I'm reading, it is possible, even in this world, to hear only that voice, meaning the Holy Spirit, and no other. Now, it is not only possible, it is absolutely necessary. Even in this world, to hear only that voice and no other. It takes effort and great willingness to learn. It is the final lesson that I learned, and God's sons are as equal as learners as they are as souls. Now, as the ego reads the Course, it's looking for ways to control and manipulate the world better to its benefit. And because that is its habit, it can't make sense out of what I just read. Because what I've just read says that what you need to attend to first is becoming single-minded, unconflicted within yourself. Well, how can that solve your problem at work? How can that solve your problem with your family? How can that solve your the financial disaster that you're in the middle of? Well, that isn't what needs to be attended to first. What needs to be attended to first is for you to get in your right mind so that you can perceive what is true about what is going on and what is not true, and in that clarity, make better choices and correct what needs to be corrected. Continuing, the voice of the Holy Spirit is the call to atonement. Now, another way of saying that is, the voice of your true mind is the call to reintegration. The reintegration of you. The voice of the Holy Spirit is the call to atonement, or the restoration of the integrity of the mind. The mind, your mind. When the atonement is complete and the whole sonship is healed, there will be no call to return. But what God creates is eternal. The Holy Spirit will remain with the sons of God to bless their creations and keep them in the light of joy. Well, of course, if the Holy Spirit is your divinity, then when you have stopped denying it and you have stopped making a choice for something imaginary, it's going to remain with you, isn't it? Yourself is going to remain with you, except that now you will know who you are. And you will know that you have no authority of the sort you thought you had as an ego. And you will know that it is your joy not to express independent authoritative presence, but to glorify God by reflecting Him in every act and thought and meaning that you embody. Continuing, you are the kingdom of heaven, but you have let the belief in darkness enter your minds, and so you need a new light. The Holy Spirit, your real self, is the radiance that you must let banish the idea of darkness. His is the glory before which dissociation falls away. And the kingdom of heaven breaks through into its own. Sanity breaks through into the middle of who you thought you were, redefining you to yourself, re-illuminating who you've always been to yourself. Before the separation, you did not need guidance. You knew as you will know again, but as you do not know now. God does not guide, because He can share only perfect knowledge. Guidance is evaluative, because it implies that there is a right way and also a wrong way, one to be chosen and the other to be avoided. By choosing one, you give up the other. As an ego, studying any system of thought, including the Course, you can think that you are learning how to make better choices between what I'm going to call bad options. Without ever arriving at a point of realizing that there's a whole other level from which choice can be made. The choice isn't between good and bad methods of control. The choice is between believing that you can have control and trying to exercise it, or yielding all sense of control up and deferring to the Father. Deferring to what comes forth from that place of excellence in the middle of you that has been ever presently waiting for you to turn around and look at it again. Again, guidance is evaluative because it implies that there is a right way and also a wrong way. One to be chosen and the other to be avoided. By choosing one, you give up the other. This is a conflict state. It means that knowledge has been lost, what I've referred to as capital K knowing, because knowledge is sure. God is not in you in a literal sense. You are part of Him. When you chose to leave Him, He gave you a voice to speak for Him because He could no longer share. His knowledge with you, I'm sorry. When you chose to leave Him, He gave you a voice to speak for Him because He could no longer share His knowledge with you without hindrance. Direct communication was broken because you had made another voice through another will. And in effect, it means you simply stopped paying attention and started ignoring God. And you did it because it seemed to you to be an interesting thing to think independently, to think originally. Continuing, the Holy Spirit calls you both to remember and to forget. To remember and to forget. To remember who you are and to forget who you think you are. To remember that your function is to let all that God is being find expression in you by your giving it away, by your sharing it, by your letting your every act and thought and deed glorify something other than you. And to forget this you that you made up. And to forget to try to protect it. And to forget to use your life to manipulate others to agree with you to whatever degree it takes for you to not be threatened by them. Continuing, you have chosen to be in a state of opposition in which opposites are possible. As a result, there are choices which you must make. That's the work, if you will. That's what you're going to perceive as work anyway, because you're going to have to remember not to proceed willy-nilly and thoughtlessly down the paths of old mental habits, and rather stop and ask of that place of excellence in you, what is appropriate here? What is really going on here? Aside from my best judgments, what is truly needed here? Not that which will protect me, but that which will glorify God, that which will embody God right here. Because I'm told that if I give that precedence in my mind, and I find a way to let that be embodied in me, I will find my invulnerability and the fact that I don't need to be in a constant state of self-protection. But you're going to have to make that choice. You're going to have to make it over and over and over again, because that's the way you break an old habit. That's the way change happens. Continuing, in the holy state, the will is free in the sense that its creative power is unlimited, but choice itself is meaningless. Choice itself is meaningless. What outside of the infinite movement of creation, which it is your function to experience and acknowledge and recognize its source in, could constitute a choice? Can you see that when you made a choice, when you attempted to imagine that you could make a choice, what you had to do, because there's nothing outside the infinite movement of creation, was to block and limit your conscious experience of the infinite movement of creation? That's the only thing you could do. That's the only thing that any act of personal or private creativity you could engage in, blocking the full experience of creation. You might say that's like using drugs and slowly killing off the cells in your brain, and finding that the choice to be limited in your ability to be aware causes a temporary experience of exhilaration caused by the dying of the cells in your brain. You see what I'm saying? Except that in your choice to ignore parts of the infinite movement of creation, nothing died. Your right-minded, real-minded capacities, blocked off by you from your awareness of it, remains intact and forever available to you, simply awaiting the time when you will tire of the unnatural effort it takes to be in a constant state of self, with a capital S, self-denial. So here you are at a point of having to make a choice between the capital S self you are and the made up small s self that you can never really be. And you're going to have to make the choice on purpose, and you're going to have to make it over and over and over. Because that's how you escape an unnatural bondage to ignorance, to being asleep, not fully awake, constantly in a dopey, drowsy state that doesn't absorb the fullness of everything in front of you. Continuing, freedom to choose is the same power as freedom to create, but its application is different. The difference is the power to choose as you have been using it, not as it's being spoken of here. The power to choose is the power to create definitions and choose for your definition, which has as its function self-protection, which is selfish in nature. Where the power to create is your capacity to make a gift, to extend, to glorify God by extending what God is to your brothers, your sisters, your world, your universe, and everything in it. The power to create is your innate power to extend blessing to everything by recognizing God in everything, you see? It's unselfish. You might say it's otherish. Except in extending truth, in extending love, in extending the essence of what God is to your brother, you provide yourself with the experience that your brother is yourself, that your brother is not separate from you, that your brother is not other than you. Because the function each of you has is the same function: to glorify God. Continuing, choosing means divided will. The Holy Spirit is one way of choosing. This way is in you because there is also another way. Do you get that? The Holy Spirit is one way of choosing. This way is in you because there is also another way. What that means is that you seem to have created another way. You seem to have created for yourself a capacity to think for yourself, to choose for yourself, to have an intent of your own that originates with you and nothing else. And you believe you have succeeded, and you govern yourselves accordingly. Having created that imaginary capacity to choose, which you could never totally succeed at having created, it made you as that divine one whose function it is to glorify God another choice. But when you finally abandon thinking that you have a capacity to choose independent of God, then glorifying God, being the fullness of the radiance of what God is expressing Himself as right where you are, will be the unchallenged nature of being and won't constitute a choice at all. Nevertheless, while you seem to have made the choice for doing things your way, and I'm continuing here, God did not leave His children comfortless, even though they chose to leave Him. The voice they put in their minds was not the voice of His will, for which the Holy Spirit speaks. You see, the Divine One that you are never speaks for itself. It speaks for God. And that's why it's absolutely necessary to understand that this is not a course to give the one you think you are a better means of control. A better way for you to speak for yourself. A higher, loftier motive for speaking for yourself. So that you might one day perhaps change the world with the loftiness of a position you have taken as an independent one, you see, without ever having remembered who you really are. The Holy Spirit speaks for God, not for you. Your real self speaks for God, not for itself. You see the difference? Until you catch the scent, the flavor of the meaning of what I've just said, you can't possibly be in a position of being an agent for change in the world or a healing presence in the world. Continuing. The call to return is stronger than the call to depart, but it speaks in a different way. It not only speaks in a different way, it speaks with a different intent, and it speaks for a different outcome. It doesn't speak for an outcome of self-preservation. It speaks for an outcome of the extension of all that God is through you, and you know, I'll promise you something. The excitement you think you experience being an independent ego, making decisions and definitions on its own, and trying to succeed in overcoming the hostile world it sees itself living in. The excitement and thrill of that doesn't begin to match the joy and the bliss and the innocence and the utter safety that you experience when you're being utterly congruent with your capital S self, and are introducing nothing foreign to it. Continuing. the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind. The voice of the Holy Spirit does not command because it is incapable of arrogance. It does not demand because it does not seek control. It does not overcome because it does not attack. It merely reminds. And that's what I'm constantly doing. It's constantly reminding you of the truth, which you deeply know within your being because you couldn't get rid of it even if you buried it where you thought it was out of sight. And I remind you of the truth, and your divinity, when you turn to it, will remind you of the truth. Not so that the you think you are can embrace the truth and live it better, but so that in the experience of the reminder of what you know from that place of excellence in you, you have the opportunity to say, wow, maybe I'm going to stop making a choice for my best capacity to reason and think and come to conclusions and give definitions and manipulate the world. Maybe I'm going to abandon that in favor of this experience I'm having within me, which is an experience of utter peace and utter integrity and utter safety, in which I feel universally grounded and whole. Maybe I will give that preference and explore the experience more fully. All of this because you have been reminded of something. The voice of the Holy Spirit is compelling only because of what it reminds you of. Not because it reminded you with force, but because it stayed out of the way and illuminated some part of your divinity to you, so that you might, because it's part of you and you can tell that it's part of you, find the inclination to investigate it further. Continuing, it brings to your mind the other way, remaining quiet, even in the midst of the turmoil you have made for yourselves. The voice for God is always quiet because it speaks of peace. Yet peace is stronger than war, because it heals. War is division, not increase. No one gains from strife. Quote, what profiteth it a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Unquote. That means that if he listens to the wrong voice, he has lost sight of his soul. He cannot lose it, but he can not know it. And I'm adding this, he cannot know it by consciously choosing to ignore it. You can all not know it by consciously choosing to ignore it, but ignoring something doesn't make it go away. And so, when you consciously choose to ignore what you are in favor of an imaginary and exciting false picture of who you are, all you've done is, you might say, close the door so that the truth about you is out of sight, out of mind. But it's still sitting there. It's sitting there at this moment, accessible to you at this moment, available to you at this moment. And you know what? You don't have to study any course in order to get the skill to re-access your right mind. All you have to do is let there be a little chink of doubt about the mind that you think you have. All you have to do is be willing to withdraw the trust you have invested in the way you're seeing things and say, Father, I would like to see the truth here. I would like to have and experience a point of view that's bigger and truer than any point of view I have arrived at. That's the way you do it. You withdraw investment of trust in the way you have decided everything is, and invite a new perspective from God. I say from God because you want a new perspective that is utterly truthful. And the word God to you does involve the meaning of ultimateness. So desire to know of that which is ultimate, what the truth is. And let there be a stronger intent to have the new experience than to reestablish the old one that you have created for yourself. Again, that means that if he listens to the wrong voice, he has lost sight of his soul. He cannot lose it, but he can not know it. It is therefore lost to him until he chooses right. The Holy Spirit is your guide in choosing. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit is your guide in choosing. That means that when you chose to ignore the truth and make up truth for yourself, God didn't give you some other guide, something different from you to be your guide. The Holy Spirit is your own right mind. Therefore, as you lean into the Holy Spirit for the truer experience of being, you're leaning into how shall I say it? You're leaning into something you can trust because it's yourself. You're leaning into that which would be the most dependable thing that could be given to you to rely upon. Your divinity. Your guide isn't a stranger to you, in other words. What integrity that embodies. That what you must lean into is the voice for God that is your very own being. You get it? You get the integrity of it. You get the stability of it, the dependability of it, the reliableness of it. And the fact that the solution to the human condition is so utterly thoughtful, so utterly loving, and so full of integrity. In other words, you're leaning into your divine integrity in order to have it uncovered to you so that the process is one of constant, fuller confirmation of that which is valuable about you. You can feel the unity of it, the oneness of the process of coming home, and why it ultimately is I'm going to say maximally powerful. Again, the Holy Spirit is your guide in choosing. He is the part of your mind which always speaks for the right choice because he speaks for God. That is your measuring stick. If what you're hearing isn't speaking for God, it's not the Holy Spirit. If what you're listening to is speaking for you, so that you might be exercising better control with loftier motives in the world, you may know that you are listening to that which is going to bind you to longer dreams and more sleep. The Holy Spirit, reading again, is the part of your mind which always speaks for the right choice because he speaks for God. He is your remaining communication with God, which you can interrupt, but cannot destroy. The Holy Spirit is the way in which God's will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. Both heaven and earth are in you, because the call of both is in your will and therefore in your mind. The voice for God comes from your own altars to him. Now listen to this. These altars are not things. They are devotions. Yet, you have other devotions now. Your divided devotion has given you the two voices, and you must choose at which altar you will serve. Now again, you see, we're not talking about how to fix up your financial picture or your horrible relationship. We're not talking about what she's doing or what he's doing or what they're not doing. We're talking about what is essential before you can even address the healing of anything. And what is essential before you can truly address the healing of anything is for you to choose for the voice that will confirm healing rather than conflict and disease. So don't try to rush ahead. Don't try to skip over this. Reading. You have other devotions now. Your divided devotion has given you the two voices, and you must choose at which altar you will to serve. The call you answer now is an evaluation because it is a decision. Well, don't fuss around and mince around about whether or not you should be being decisive, because after all, the only thing that can be decisive is the ego. Bullshit. Make a decision. Make a choice between the voices. The decision itself is very simple. It is made on the basis of which call is worth more to you. My mind will always be like yours because we were created as equals. It was only my decision, my choice, that gave me all power in heaven and earth. My only gift to you is to help you make the same decision for yourself. I cannot make it for you. No one else can make it for you. You made the choice for moving into the realm of imagination and then trying to believe that what you were imagining was truly real. And you must unmake that choice by making the only other choice that's available to you, which is to abandon your imagined right to have ideas and thoughts of your own independent of God, and turn around from that and say, Father, thy will be done. Father, I wish to glorify you because I have decided that I want the effect of my presence to be an expression of what is truly, divinely, eternally real. I want the effect of my presence to embody and illuminate what is ultimate, not partial. But you've got to want it. No way you can do this on lip service. You've got to want it. You've got to decide for it. Continuing. The will for this decision is the will to share it, because the decision itself is the decision to share. You see, oh, I want to glorify God. Well, to what? To whom? Glorify, how? Are you just going to go out in the black corner of the universe and glorify God, or go to a desert island and glorify God there on the little, 1 mile square perimeter that you have of land to stand on? No. Glorifying God is involvement with your brothers and sisters. It's involvement with every aspect of creation. It's extension, not out into the void, but extension to a brother or a sister, to something, to an object of your affection. It's involvement, as we've spoken before. The will for this decision is the will to share it, because the decision itself is the decision to share. It is made by giving, and is therefore the one act of mind that resembles true creation. You understand the role of models in the learning process, and the importance of the models you value and choose to follow in determining what you will to learn. I am your model for decision. By deciding for God, I showed you that this decision can be made and that you can make it. I promised you that the mind that made the decision for me is also in you. Keywords there. I promised you that the mind that made the decision for me is also in you. Ah. The mind that will make the decision for you is the Holy Spirit. That place of excellence in you, which, when remembering that it is what is real, chooses from what I'm going to call that level of clarity, rather than the imaginary sense of self that is nothing but unclarity. It makes the decision. The ego you think you are does not make this decision to wake up. Let's be very clear on that. The decision to wake up is impulsed by you from that place of excellence in you, and it's not a calculated decision, calculated to have a particular effect. It's a decision to be unconflicted within yourself anymore. That's what it is. Again, I promised you that the mind that made the decision for me is also in you, and that you can let it change you just as it changed me. This states in a different way what I told you last week. The Holy Spirit, your own real self, your own real mind, operates according to different laws than your ego sense of self does. It operates according to God's laws, where your ego responds according to the laws set up by the mutually agreed upon definitions that all of you have made up together. They serve two different purposes. One is a service of self-protection, and the other is a service of extension. Therefore, as you begin to reach out to the Holy Spirit, even though you now know that it's your own real mind, it is at the beginning going to be exactly like reaching out to something different from you. Something that will require you to yield up your self-trust in favor of. Again, it's just another way of saying that waking up is not a matter of ego self-improvement. It's a matter of abandoning the ego and making a choice for that of you which is real and sane. It's really a matter of being willing to forget insanity. Again, I promised you that the mind that made the decision for me is also in you, and that you can let it change you just as it changed me. This mind is unequivocal because it hears only one voice and answers in only one way. You are the light of the world with me. Rest does not come from sleeping, but from waking. Oh, you cannot imagine the joy of the peace and the effortlessness of being infinitely as compared to the effort and strain it has taken you to experience things finitely. Trust me on this. The Holy Spirit is the call to awake and be glad. The world is very tired because it is the idea of weariness. Our task is the joyous one of waking it to the call for God. Everyone will answer the call of the Holy Spirit, or the sonship cannot be as one. What better vocation could there be for any part of the kingdom than to restore it to the perfect integration that can make it whole? So, if you ever wondered what you were here for, now you know. You're here to wake up from the repetitive process of falling asleep and having dreams called incarnations. You're here to wake up from falling prey to the distraction of looking at the kingdom of heaven through the lens of mutually agreed upon definitions. That's what you're here for. So that you don't have these endlessly repetitious experiences of reality through the distorting lens of false perception. When you wake up, you're not going to go anywhere. You're just going to see here with fresh eyes, in which everything you see is some aspect of God embodying His purity, His beauty, His loveliness, and His indivisibleness, universal indivisibility, while at the same time being infinitely expressed. Continuing, hear only this through the Holy Spirit within you, and teach your brothers to listen as I am teaching you. When you are tempted by the wrong voice, call on me to remind you how to heal by sharing my decision and making it stronger. As we share this goal, we increase its power to attract the whole sonship and to bring it back into the oneness in which it was created. And I'm going to say, and in which it has forever continued to be, even though no one is noticing it because they are distracted by the thrill of independence. Continuing, remember that yoke means join together, and burden means message. Let us reconsider the biblical statement, my yoke is easy and my burden light, in this way. Let us join together, for my message is capital L light. See, you keep looking for something in the Course to miraculously change your life in the world. But that won't happen until something else happens first. And it's called joining. It's called abandoning your independent stance. And you know what? It's not possible to join with egos. It's not possible. The only thing it's possible to join with is something that's real. And that which is real is divine. Continuing, I came into your minds because you had grown vaguely aware of the fact that there is another way or another voice. It doesn't matter whether I was saying this to Helen and Bill or not. If you are experiencing me in your mind, it is because you have grown vaguely aware of the fact that there is another way or another voice. Having given this invitation to the Holy Spirit, I could come to provide the model for how to think. This is very important. Psychology has become the study of behavior, but no one denies the basic law that behavior is a response to motivation. And motivation is will. I have enjoined you to behave as I behaved. But we must respond to the same mind to do this. You see? This mind is the Holy Spirit, whose will is for God always. Not for you. Not for you. The Holy Spirit's will is for God. God's will is for you. You already are God's will in expression. You are the presence of God embodied. And there's nothing more nor less than the infiniteness of God constituting the presence that you are. Again, I have enjoined you to behave as I behaved, but we must respond to the same mind to do this. This mind is the Holy Spirit, whose will is for God always. He teaches you how to keep me as the model for your thought and to behave like me as a result. The power of our joint motivation is beyond belief, but not beyond accomplishment. What we can accomplish together has no limits, because the call for God is the call to the unlimited. child of God, brother and sister, I'm inserting that, my message is for you to hear and give away as you answer the Holy Spirit within you. It's a whole shift of being for you. A shift from getting to giving. A shift from self-protection to loving your brother enough to be benign in his experience, and therefore be a demonstration of the fact that fear is not called for, and thereby be an inspiration to him to dare to have the confidence to set aside his conviction that self-protection is essential. Everyone is indeed becoming clearer. I may not be providing opportunity very frequently for dialogue, for interaction, but our communion, mine with each of you, is very definite and is going on whether you are able to interact on Sunday afternoons. And your increasing clarity is nurtured, you might say fertilized, and protected by me and by your guides. And you want to know something? Your own real self, the Holy Spirit, is experiencing joy. As all of this becomes clearer to you, and you're going to begin to experience it as joy felt for no good reason. And I want you to know that when you have that experience of feeling joy for no apparent reason, that this is a true experience of your real mind. And in your recognizing that when it happens, it will constitute a further act of integration and unification. Now, I do not mean to imply by anything I've said today that there is not going to be healing in your world. I am not saying that you should not expect a reversal of financial disaster, or that you should not feel it is important to be healed of a disease. All I'm saying today is that before you tackle healing a disease, before you tackle the correction of a financial disaster, that you make sure that you've done everything you can not to rely upon your ego to do it, and that the means for avoiding investing further energy into your ego is to ask of the Holy Spirit, or to ask of the Father, what is the truth here? The call, the necessity, is for abandoning the isolation and joining with the Father, or the Holy Spirit that speaks for the Father. So that the healing or the reversal of misfortune cannot ever be attributed to the expression of will on your part. Every single time you think that your expression of will has accomplished something, it has strengthened your faith in the utilization of willpower, which has caused your back to be turned more solidly toward the altar. The Course is not about improving the ego or its skills. It's really about the divine you coming out of the closet. And you know what? There's no way for you to be outed. No one else can out you, unfortunately or fortunately. So, you can feel comforted if you want to, that nobody can demonstrate to anybody else your divinity or your capacity to experience perfect health, perfect harmony, all the abundance you might ever want. No one will ever expose your capacity to be meaningful. Don't worry. It won't happen until you make the decision to make commitment to the voice for truth that is the Holy Spirit, which is your own real mind. I love you all. And I look forward to being with you next week.